Blog Talk Radio.
Worth singing,
I can
too. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan.
Change it.
Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Climate change and the need for environmental education,
in the black community through black talk radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on black America is also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. And you can get more information on that by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. That's positivechangepc.com. Also, it's brought to you by Stratton Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newspaper production, online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, speaker bureau management. And for contact information, that's scottoncommunicationsnetwork.com. That's Scotton, communications with an S, network.com. ScottonCommunicationsNetwork.com. Yes, it's a mouthful, ladies and gentlemen, but that is the contact information for ScottonCommunicationsNetwork.com. And if you're interested in getting some work done and you need some editing work done, please contact Dr. Gwendolyn Scotton Bethay at ScottonCommunicationsNetwork.com. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on black America. We don't have any scheduled guests for our show today, but we are blessed to be on the airwaves of Blog Talk Radio, streaming from our right outside our nation's capital from Tacoma Park, Maryland. Also, we are broadcasting over Blog Talk Radio and streaming over Facebook, Twitter, and Link. Yes, 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 ladies and gentlemen, I think we prepared a very, very interesting show for you today. And we're going to just dive right into our subject matter for our show today. And we're going to start our the top of our hour with looking at a very, very, I think, interesting article that I came across dealing with the takeover of utility customers. Local generation emerges as the next big thing. And you know, in America, everybody's always looking for what? The next big thing. Now, this article was done by Herman K. Tarbush. It was published on yesterday, October 8, 2019, in Utility Dive, which is a highly recommended online energy magazine that deals with renewable energy and all forms of energy in the energy sector. The demand for customer choice has the potential to quicken the power system transitions toward cheaper, cleaner power and is moving beyond California. Of course, you know, the Sunshine State leads the nation in legislation as it relates to renewable energy. A new national explosion of community choice aggregation, CCA, is a rising ambition for transforming the U.S. power system. On the heels of an explosion of customer choice in California over the last 3 years, slowly growing aggregation markets in Massachusetts is accelerating in New York. A new version of aggregation is emerging in customers in traditional markets like Illinois and Ohio are looking for new services for their aggregators. A national CCA organization wants to bring the choice to your state. Customers want more choice and more ways to green the grid, and aggregation offers both. Sean Marshall, who is the executive director of Lean Energy, CCA led the municipal governments were created to leverage buying power of large groups of electricity users to get lower electricity prices and meet other customers' demands in the deregulated power market states. The newest aggregations are demanding that power sector meet the grassroots customers' demand for renewable distributed and increasing local generation. Customers want more choices and more ways to green the grid, and aggregation offers both. Sean Marshall, Executive Director for the National Aggregation Advocacy Group, Lean Energy, told the utility dive, overturning the status quo is not easy, but we are seeing a lot of interest. Now, this relates to community solar projects. In states where legislation that enables aggregation momentum is growing, aggregation popularity is softening utility resistance. Renewable developers' initial concerns about creditworthiness are transmuting into commitments to make deals happen. One conflict aggregation still must face is the gap between the power system reliance on bulk and diversified generation and the dream of power systems comprised entirely of local resources. How and why aggregation works. Aggregation of investor-owned utilities, IOU customers, is often called public power light because utility responsibility for the delivery infrastructure and building remain with the IOU. But like a public-owned utility, aggregation generation mix is selected, controlled by, and priced by the needs of the customer instead of the utility business. This article goes on to say 9 states have legislation that authorizes local governments to aggregate IOU customers and leverage the buying power of their electric purchases. In 6 of the 9 states, IOU customers automatically become part of the local authority aggregation unless they opt out and stay with the IOU. Ohio, Virginia, and New Hampshire shift the opt-in-out decision to the local government. Aggregation has so far been done only in states with fully or particularly deregulated power markets. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road as it relates to the African-American community. When we began to talk about regulated, deregulated power markets, well, when we began to analyze very, very closely, and I did an entire segment on this show about regulation, deregulation, and suspended regulation in the 50 U.S. states and the District of Columbia. When we began to look very, very closely at where this show demographics speaks to the African-American community, we will find out that the larger majority of the African-American population base is located in the deepest South and Southern states that are regulated markets, which would prevent community-based solar projects from moving forward. I just spoke about Reverend Nelson out of Greensboro, North Carolina, who has a church there who, on their community center, they put forth a community solar project, which a nonprofit funded with $20,000. They paid for the panels, they installed the panels on the roof, and they were sued by Duke. And this thing went all the way to the North Carolina Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled against the nonprofit and the church, stating that they didn't have the right to generate energy and sell that energy to the end user, which were their members of that particular church who became their customer base. So when we began to look very, very closely at this article, yeah, this is great, but the discussion about regulation and deregulation and what the impacts are speaks truly to this article about regulation and deregulated markets. In the aggregation where Massachusetts and Ohio in the late 90s and the 2000s, local power president Paul Finn told utility that primary paradigms was cheaper power, a second wave in the last decade shift to emphasize renewable and rate parity that would simply meet and beat utility rates rather than steeply undercut them. There are now West Coast and East Coast versions of aggregation. Lean Energy Marshall added, in California, the market is particularly deregulated and CAAs purchase generation in wholesale markets through long-term contracts. In fully deregulated Midwest and Northeastern markets, aggregators buy generation retail through short-term contracts. As the momentum behind aggregation and the leaders' sense of what they can accomplish has grown, contracting and marketing issues have become more complex. And it talks about the municipality in the CCA 1.0 diagram, energy broker, administrator, default basic or green electric service, 100% renewable energy options, okay, in the CCA 2.0/3.0, municipality, joint powers of interagency agreement, default based on green electricity service, 100% renewable energy option. So you have to have renewable portfolio state legislation for this to move forward. Then you have another CCA 2.0/3.0, and it gets into that. There are three versions. The ultimate objective of the CCA version 3.0, Finn and Marshall said, in version 1, aggregations really rely largely on market power, renewable energy certificates, extracts, and streamline operations to lower utility bills. By the end of their first 2 years, they typically began to sign power purchase agreements or deliver large-scale renewable generation in other ways, according to the Lean Energy. Now, these factors are applicable to the District of Columbia because it's a deregulated market, as well as the state of Maryland. Around year 3, aggregations began version 2.0 by offering programs and incentives to zero emissions electricity. Offering typically include a bill financing for energy efficiency or distributed generation and rebates for participation in electric vehicles and charging and demand response programs. There is a lot of programs innovations in Massachusetts, even compared to California. Paul Flynn, president of the local power, beyond 3 years, version 3.0 would provide generation and programs that lead to more community economic development and local renewables, according to the Lean Energy. That would include microgrids size to make community self-reliance, build around community solar and community wind and storage, and enhance building and transportation electrification. So far, 3.0 is only particularly realized and only in California, Finn said. The Northeast Ohio Public Energy Council is one of the largest standing in the U.S. Aggregation serves 900,000 customers in over 230 communities, but remain in versions 1.0, Marshall said. It has served ratepayers at $3 per billion per year for the last 8 years, according to the website. But it faces a policy mindset that it's taking it backwards on the energy policy. Now, green aggregation that exists in Massachusetts are emerging in New York, led by the current aggregation expansion in the Northeast. For East Coast customers, versus 2.0 offering greener power at no-cost premiums is often more compelling than getting a 10% rate discount, Finn said. This is a lot of program integration in Massachusetts, even compared to California. Version 3.0 is profoundly different approach from energy transformation. This represents the renaissance of CCAs. Finn said it is based on local solar storage and energy efficiency plus distributed renewables and focus on load saving and reform, but the approach only exists in California, having it emerged within the last year or two, Finn said. Ultimately, version 3.0 will produce CCAs that are energy retailers and provide unbundled procurement scheduled transmission in their ISOs and have their own credit and collateral. Each could essentially be like a mini utility, Finn said. Now, it gives you a breakdown of those nine states: California, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Rhode Island, and Virginia. Actively in investigating is Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Maryland, and Oregon. On the watch list states, you have Washington State. Indicators: three states represent a version of aggregations being used, expand to test beyond California, Finn and Marshall stated. The number of CCAs in the Massachusetts is growing slowly, but the move by aggregators to add more renewables in their power mixes is starting to accelerate, and the growth of the CCA's growth in Illinois has been falling off, but stakeholders are looking for new ways it can add value to customers, and New York CCAs are developing a new business model in which services as well as customers can aggregate. Massachusetts now has over 140 municipal energy aggregators, MEAs, the state's version of the CCAs, according to the Lean Energy Growth, has been steady for 5 years, but seemed poised to spike when major population centers aggregate in Boston, Springfield, and Rochester launched in 2019 and 2020, two factors that have key Massachusetts and other northeastern deregulated market stakeholders agree. One is new emphasis on moving to 2.0, with environmental groups calling for MEAs to build green MEAs based on new local renewables instead of REC purchases, which are the energy credits, which is the biggest thing driving the market right now in the District of Columbia because the shortfall of DC-based solar. All of this stuff ties back in. The city of Newton aggregation is led by former Massachusetts Department of Public Utilities Chair Ann Berwick, now Newton's co-director of sustainability. Newton is a green MEA, but our price is competitive with utility-based services. Berwick told Utility Dive, the shows today low renewable energy costs can allow aggregation to move toward version 2.0, but rushing to version 3.0 high cost local resources does not make sense because version 2.0 means can drive the renewable markets and potentially get better rates than IOUs. Other than value aggregation offers consumer protections because they are created by local government, Berwick said. Massachusetts Attorney General Marley Healy office has data on the predatory marketing practice and conclude competition has not worked and should be eliminated. The growth of MEAs in Massachusetts is not due to the problem with retail suppliers, and in fact, MEAs are served by retail suppliers. Senior Corporate Affairs Director Chris Callender, a multi-state rep direct energy toll utility, more significant factors are state rules streamlining compensations RECs and rules allowing RECs and MEAs to access lower prices in energy markets. We are working with Attorney General's Office and state regulators to address these issues without compromising the potential for innovations and competitive drives, he added. Illinois is seeing the resurgence of aggregation growth in 2011 into 2013. Expansion has slowed in 2014, according to Lean Energy. In 2018, 571 Illinois' 745 communities were being served by aggregators. Aggregation can still be a valuable option for customers, but it must offer more than short price savings, said Cotota, as in Massachusetts, rep fraud and scams support interest in aggregation. He said big business has the bargaining power and sophistication to avoid predatory marketing, but residential customers need the leverage of municipal aggregation to make competition work for them. It is quite possible there are companies doing things that are not particularly customer friendly, Direct Energy Calendar said, but reps are competing with established utilities to win residential customers, and the solution is not the end, but to fix it, to add customers various proportions of driven growth. Municipalities must also acquire an understanding of energy markets and learn how to manage system demand. They need to incorporate demand response and energy efficiency and further technologies and strategies to optimize the total load shape, because that can transform the resource mix and lower the utility prices. That is what Finn and Marshall call version 3. Some Illinois municipalities are thinking through how to do more to shape the load. New York is a newer aggregation market, but the number of cities enrolling is growing very fast, and it is about to see tremendous expansion, Marshall said. Reps, persuasive marketing, fraud, and failure to serve residential and small business customers is again a driver, Finn said. New York probably is the next big, huge growth area because they are offering what people want, which is competitive prices, fraud protection, carbon reduction, renewable, local renewable, and energy efficiency. The New York First Aggregation Westchester Power launched in May of 2016 and is now serves 27 communities. Program Director Dan Walsh told Utility Drive that the focus on keeping rate competitive. We are basically version 1.0, but we also offer community electricity, heat pumps, and energy efficiency, he said. Westchester Power is less interested in version 3.0 in cross-marketing evolution or options. Welch said, the plain vanilla offering is based on RECs, which we now provide 24 of our 27 communities. Solar is also an option, and we are working toward meeting our load with local renewables. There is a learning curve, and making it work in years away. Imagination is running much faster than reality. Now, these are issues which have not been addressed. The evolution process will also allow Westchester to incorporate from New York's smart meter rollout, he said. Smart meters could support time-varying rates and use more local renewables by shaping our load on which demand would be very concise when renewables are more available and more affordable. Inspired by these states' rapid growth aggregation, proponents are actively working to Ward enabling legislation in Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Colorado, Oregon, and regulations in Arizona. Marshall said Pennsylvania and Connecticut are most likely because they are deregulated markets and only need aggregation in enabling status. By aggregation, Greens has become a confronting reality. Reality and the dream, aggregation 3.0, beyond today because the system is based entirely on grid connection, local distribution, resources that project resilience and reliability, a very tricky balancing act. Sustainable Systems Research Foundation co-director Ronnie Lepwich told Utility Dive, there is a learning curve making it work in years away. Imagination is running much faster than the reality. The growth of CEAs also introduces regulatory complexities. Matthews Freedom Senior Attorney for Consumer Advocacy Group Utility Reform Network told Utility Drive, aggregation opportunity, if it does not prevent states' oversight and controls needed to ensure achieving resources, planning, and policy objectives. These concerns raised often by California policymakers and utility leaders. Aggregations are working to address them, but the cornerstone continue to be raised. To my stakeholders, don't want to go on the record criticizing aggregation because it's growing political momentum. Yeah, well, it always comes down to the politics of it. Sean Marshall, executive director of Lean Energy, statewide energy policy initiatives, especially those directly at protecting system reliability, require coordination unless policymakers choose to decentralize procurement of reliability entirely. He added, some states have heavily reliability issues to capacity markets in compliance with RECs purchases, but neither assures the development of new in-state renewables, he said. Other states like New York and Illinois procure through central agency. State enabling aggregation must decide on how they will protect policy goals and reliability standards. CCA brings fresh energy to regulatory debates, and their comments to of renewables offered real added value, Freedom said, but more effective strategy might be focused on what they do at the local level with energy storage and energy efficiency initiatives, building and transportation electrification programs. That, of course, is version 3.0. Finn and Marshall said it remains more an aspiration, an achievement, even in California. Ladies and gentlemen, this policy game is no joke. People are making rules and regulations every day that impact on your pocketbook. If you don't believe so, check with the District of Columbia ratepayers after Mayor Biles has just recently signed the Omnibus Act of 2018, which kicked into place in 2017. I had the privilege of having the former head of the Public Service Commission, Mrs. Betty Ann Cain. Of course, the Public Service Commission in Washington, D.C. was originally put in place in 1913 by the U.S. Congress to look at the regulation of utilities in the District of Columbia, being that the District of Columbia is the last what we would call plantation left. Representation with no vote. So when we began to look at Congress and look at the politics behind this thing, it goes full circle why the District of Columbia is jumping up and down saying we want statehood. Because when you are put in a position where you got to pass this regulation. And this was shared to me by one of the council persons who I have not yet contacted, because I have not, I've been trying to formulate what I want to go to her of with to talk about. We have several, our organization, the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, we are working with some companies. We have put together some programs that we're in the process of working with our historically black colleges on trying to initiate a 5-year sustainability plan. And I'll leave it there because this is a work in progress. But the fact of the matter is, when we begin to talk about community solar in the District of Columbia, it's a major issue because everybody is pushing community solar-based projects where you have those who have access and property can put PV systems on their roofs, benefit from the tax benefit by the developer, but it can be a effective way of generating income for that property owner, as well as reducing their direct utility bills for that particular commercial building and property owner. So there are pros and cons on both sides of this. I thought this was a very, very interesting article, and we wanted to basically get this information out to our community. And if you would like to respond to this first segment of our show, you know how to do that. You can do that by calling 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Please remember, after dialing the call-in number, press 1 on your phone pad, because you'll be in our green room, and we want to bring you right on into our studio so we can have a robust conversation here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And as you may know, we've already we're at the first segment of our show today. We're a quarter of the way through, so we're going to take another pause for the cause, and we'll be right back on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know how
life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it.
Welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay, and you're listening to us live over the broadcast airways of Blog Talk Radio. We are streaming over Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Now, you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. We'd like for you to join us today by dialing the call-in number. And please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. We went carefully and looked at a number of issues that are having impacts on the African-American community, because after all, this show is called Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And we wanted to basically look at the Supreme Court's rejects the SDGE appeal on who will pay for the wildfire fire cost in California. Now, we find this to be a very, 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 very interesting article, because PG&E on the West Coast was found liable in this process. Now, we're going to look more into this particular article, because as I indicate, we always give credit where credit is due. We found a very, very interesting article that has been produced and written by Rob Nobolinsky. It was published on October 7th, 2019 in the Los Angeles Times. Firefighters battle in 2007 shows an image of firefighters battling the Witch Creek fire in San Diego. The U.S. Supreme Court said Monday that it will not hear San Diego Gas and Electric appeal of the California Supreme Court case based that rejected the utility's requests to put ratepayers on the hook for, listen, ladies and gentlemen, $379 million in costs related to the 2007 wildfires and the blaze through San Diego County. We're talking 12 years ago this incident happened. And it's taken 12 years to get this matter to the U.S. Supreme Court. Investigators have faulted SDGE for the deadly state of fires since those blazes. The utility, a unit of Superior Energy, has spent $1.5 billion in ratepayers' funds to prevent wildfires in the service territory, including launching a state-of-the-art weather network, installing mountaintop fire detection cameras, and replacing wooden poles with steel poles. The utility said it was disappointed by the Supreme Court's decision. Well, you in the utility business, folks, and it comes along with the territory. When you look on your utility bill, you will see as a ratepayer, you will have a generation fee, you will have a transmission fee. You are paying for these things. So if the consumers are paying once when they're paying their bill, once a disaster happens, why should they be forced to be on the hook for paying for these upgrades when climate change is bringing about all of these impacts on the marketplace? It's bearing down on utility companies. And these are realities that there is no discussion about in the black community about how does this affect you. This is how this affects you. Investigators, let me read this again, have faulted SDG&E for the deadly state of fires sets the blazes. And the utility unit of Sempra Energy has spent $1.5 million in ratepayers' funds to prevent wildfires in service territories. Okay, ratepayers' funds. That means you are contributing to a compliance fee that goes into this fund that they are charging you because you got to have the energy, but they're passing that cost on to you. SDG&E has shown that fires occur due to circumstances beyond their control, and said Monday in a statement, still, it said, remains committed to help strengthen wildfire preparedness and prevention. SDG&E is now out of the legal options, said Loretta Lynch, former president of the California Public Utilities Commission. It's been at least 2 years they've been pursuing this appetite strategy to delay paying for their own negligence, said Lynch, who is now a board member for the Protect Our Communities Foundation, a San Diego area environmental group. We are not strictly liability here. We're found to be negligent, so of course they should pay, according to Lynch. The $379 million will have to be paid by SDG&E, not the shareholders. By SDG&E shareholders. Oh, now we're talking about where the pocketbook issue about the ratepayer, who is the end user, based consumer, based people of color, Hispanics, African Americans, Indian populations, marginalized communities who are the consumers, not the shareholders. This is very, very interesting when you begin to look at portfolios, because when you look at most portfolios in the black community, because of the income ability to earn and bring enough capital into your household, you don't have that money that you can set aside because you're determining on roof, shelter, food, communications, transportation. It's called survival, folks. The dispute dates back more than a decade when SDG&E first applied for the recovery that the money from the ratepayers. But the investigations in the causes of the Witch and Rice fires, three of the worst fires in the devastating firestorm that befell the San Diego County since 2007, found to be sparked by SDG&E equipment that had not been properly maintained. Oh, you don't want to spend no money for maintenance, but you want the people to spend $379 million to bail you out. There were a combined two people killed, 45 firefighters injured, 1,300 homes destroyed. In the aftermath, investigators determined that SDG&E had not properly trimmed trees and other vegetative growing near its backcountry power lines. SDG&E spent $2.4 billion to resolve more than 2,000 lawsuits related to the 2007 fires. Oh, yes, the lawyers made a lot of paper off this here because white folks were suing. And I emphasize that. White folks were suing. And when they get their lawyers and go to the courthouses, oh, it'll be like You have heard, when they speak, everybody listen. But it insisted that the blazes were ignited by factors that it could not control, including extreme Santa Ana winds, lashing wire owned by Cox Communications that hit the SG&E power lines, and that the tree limbs that fell onto the SG&E lines were due to high winds. The utility had $1.1 billion of liability insurance in place in 2007, which SDG&E officials say was the maximum amount they could obtain. In other words, the insurance companies have said, oh, no, we don't want none of this. We want the money, but we don't want your money, because all money ain't good money. Well, this explains it. SG&E officials have pointed out that the Federal Regulatory Commission, which regulates interstate transmission rates, granted SDG&E settlement payments through rates that eventually came to $80 million and found that the record indicates SG&E behaved as a reasonable, prudent utility in maintenance of their lines prior to the wildfires. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a very, very long, long, detailed article. You will be able to find this information by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. That's positivechangepc.com. And going over to our news and events tab, and when you click on it, you will see that U.S. Supreme Court rejects SDG&E appeal on who will pay for wildfire costs will be the first article at the top in our information blog database. So please don't meet me there, beat us there, simply by logging on to www.positivechangepc.com. P as in Paul, C as in cat.com. That's positivechangepc.com, and you'll be able to read this detailed blitzing article that was done by Mr. Rob Nowitzki, which I think he did an excellent job in laying out all of the facts. Everybody can have their opinion, but everybody can't have the facts. And he laid that information out, and he talks about who filed the lawsuit, court costs, the whole nine yards, and how the bond, half of the money in the fund will come from power companies and half will come from ratepayers. Every time you are going to be hit because the utility companies have the lawyers, they have the wherewithal, and they have the war chest to go to the courts to push for their interests, for their shareholders to be addressed so that their checks don't get too reduced too much. But they don't mind if you got something called a Social Security check and you on fixed income, that means you're retired. So this is what you got coming in. So, ain't that many people beating down the doors after you turn 50 years old looking to hire you. So this is a major, 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 major issue, especially for those baby boomers who are now the senior citizens that have decided that they want to live in the Californias and these market areas and demographics because of the weather, because of their health. But the economics and the reality of economics dictates where you can live and everything else going on in America. So we are going to take a call, another pause for the cause here on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to join me, you can do that by dialing 646-668-2948. Once again, you can do that by dialing 646-668-2948. And we're going to take a pause for the calls, and we'll be right back, and we're going to let everybody know who sponsors this show and who brings this show to you, because we got some other things, because we're going to do a segment this week, because we sort of got away from our format on our DMV employment opportunity segment on the renewable energy sector here in the DMV market area. So we're going to, like I said, take a pause for the calls, and we'll be right back.
Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it.
Welcome, welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. And I'm your host, Ronald Buffet, and you can join me and... You know, this show is brought to you every week by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative. And the slogan for this show, if it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. Now, one of the things that we wanted to talk about is there is a firestorm on Capitol Hill. And that firestorm is around 45. And here's the department head of the Department of Energy, Rick Perry, who hails from the state of Texas, whose secretary has been pulled into the impeachment fray while denying reports he'll resign. But there is a... The little boy said, it's a hot-button issue. And this was authored by Luna Ara. It's dated October the 4th, 2019, in Utility Dive. And this article went on to say, it was updated from the 4th of October on, and it was updated on October the 8th. Secretary Rick Perry rejected on Monday recent news coverage about his potential exit in November. One of these days, the media will probably get it right, but it's not today, it's not tomorrow, and it's not next month. He told reporters at the same time he said he encouraged the president to talk to Ukraine leaders about importing U.S. oil. Now, Secretary Rick Perry will not resign from the administration within the next few months, he said at the press conference on Monday, addressing Thursday reports from the Washington Post Politico. Perry was pulled into Congress impeachment fray by President Donald Trump, which we refer to as 45, based on his recent travels to the Ukraine. Senator Foreign Relations Ranking Member Robert Menzinger, a Democrat from New Jersey, questioned circumstances and details of Perry's May 19th trip to the Ukraine and the president's inauguration in a letter on Tuesday, requesting an official response no later than Friday. Trump told minority leaders on Friday that Perry had asked him to call the Ukraine president, okay, to talk about natural gas plants. Sources were told. Well, hey, if you want to believe something the 45 got to tell you, then I got some land I can sell you on the 14th Street Bridge right before you get to the U.S. government printing office. You understand? I like to put a for sale sign on that bridge, and if I got any takers, you can call 646-668-2948. If you're interested in buying you a bridge that connects the District of Columbia to the state of Virginia, and right across the bridge, we got something called National Airport. So if you think that you can purchase that bridge, I'll take all takers here at 646-668-2948. You know, this is where I'm at with that. The Trump administration has led a campaign to increase energy exports, particularly to Europe, to offset exports from Russia. As the Department of Energy and a member of Trump's cabinet since 2017, Perry has been an active part of that cause. Oh, they're trying to sell some more of that Texas crude over there. While part of this effort included travel to the Ukraine, no evidence has emerged to show Perry's involvement in the current controversy related to the country. Secretary Perry absolutely supports and encourages the president to speak with the president of the Ukraine to discuss matters related to energy security, economic development, energy development, spokesperson Haynes said in a statement. Perry went on to Lithuania and on Monday night, according to Haynes, to meet with the European energy leaders from countries relying on Russia for access to Texas crude. Some folks call it black gold. We know it as oil, which is crude, which is sending all of the impediments into the environment with COs, carbon, which is causing asthma. We know as black Americans that within 30 miles, you have black communities which have to breathe these toxins from these coal power plants. This is a fact, not my opinion. Statistical data can be backed up by contacting Environmental Justice Community Committee at the NAACP office in Baltimore, Maryland. I hope You can Google that, and you won't have to call me on my show questioning my credibility as to where did I get the statistical data. The NAACP Environmental Justice Defense Fund put out a report that addresses these issues about the impacts and the high rates of death, high rates of asthma with African-American-owned youth and other minority-based youth of color in this country who have to live where their parents can afford shelter. We're keeping it real on this show. Now, Perry used the term free gas to donate to U.S. exports as part of the world that would otherwise rely on Russian to supply liquid natural gas. The breeding has been criticized by the energy advocates, but held by the Federal Regulatory Commission and the chair of that, where all these folks are part of the tie-in with the oil and gas industry. Perry has been a prominent advocate of LNG throughout his career as the natural gas extraction industry underwent large growth when he served as governor of Texas. He was governor of Texas. Perry was touted the fuel as a cheaper emission source compared to burning oil and coal. He joined the administration seeking to champion U.S. oil gas industry. However, he's also played a key role in supporting nuclear fleets, including promoting the deployment of small nuclear reactors and supporting the disposal to create more federal incentives for existing nuclear and coal-powered plants. Well, I know Exelon is in love with him. Several investors owned utilities have opposed the Department of Energy base load generation efforts ordered by Perry in 2017. The Department of Energy's subsidized nuclear and coal eventually pitted Perry against gas generators and other natural gas stakeholders. Reading reports Perry regulation, the Department of Energy has emphasized no official announcements have been made, while the Beltway media has briskly reported on rumors of Secretary Perry's departure in months. He's still the Secretary of Energy and proud member of 45's cabinet. Energy Department spokesperson Hines told Politico of the Washington Post, "One day the media will get it right. Today is not today." Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's what this went on to say. Now, once you read into this very, very clearly, you will see why we're having the issues we're having. It's called lobbyists with plenty, plenty, plenty of deep pockets, financing pockets coming from the natural gas and oil industry. They go to Capitol Hill, and we got the best Congress money can buy. Believe that. I live here. They say money talk, BS walk. Well, it don't hobble here. It can't even get an Uber ride in this town here. They can't even call and get a wheelchair accessible taxi up in this camp here if you ain't got no paper. And I ain't talking about the newspaper. I'm talking about some of them green dead presidents with all them old white men on it. Jefferson, Hamilton, you know, the ones that they print down there at the money factory on the 14th Street Bridge. It's called the U.S. Printing Office. That's the presidents I'm talking about. Those are the ones that talk and everything else hobble. Okay? Now, we like to keep it real on this program, so you can do that, you know, by joining me in this conversation at 646-668-2948. Once again, you can join me by calling 646-668-2948. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after the dialing the call-in number. We are going to shift gears. We're going to look at some other articles. We're going to talk about employment opportunities in the DMV market area. But before we do all that, we often like to take a pause for the cause here on this show.
Life is a song worth singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it.
Welcome back to the Airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay. And please, please feel free to join us by dialing 646-668-2948. Once again, you can join us by dialing 646-668-2948. Now, there was a very, very interesting article talking about smart meters. So we like to keep it plain on this show, and we like to break it down. This article was published in Utility Dive. It was authored by Gronius. Was the author Gronius? I don't want to change this person's name that their parents gave it to him, but they gave him a real, real Wang Bang Doula here. So we're struggling with the pronunciation of it, so we're just going to spell it out. Gronius. That's how I'm pronouncing it, the way I can break it down. Now, what is a smart meter? Are you facing the fee in the lamination for a solar system, or would you like to monitor a house energy consumption? Varanus has you covered. Introduces the Varanus Smart Meter, bidirectional energy meter. Think to high accuracy and communications via the RTU. The meter is suitable for various applications such as the dynamic feed in management. Together, the Varanus Solar Web Varanus Smart Meter offers detailed overview of energy consumption within the home or business. Varanus Smart Meter is compatible with the other competing smart meters that are presently being marketed and sold in the market area. The SolarWeb is a versatile tool for monitoring your PV system to get the best yield from the sun. You need to know how your PV system is performing. SolarWeb offers you the best support for this. View live demo here, and it gives you an opportunity for it. There's a link on my website. By going to our website at positivechangepc.com, you can scroll down, find this article, click on the link, and you can watch that particular video. Your electric detective find hidden problems with sneaky house appliances in your households that are limiting your energy consumption use. With installation of smart meters, you can track how, when, and where electricity is being used. Addressing these hidden areas, you can make solar more efficiently beneficial without overcompensating for extra components. Get quality data and utilities companies won't provide. Why would utility companies give us data on how we use energy when you can simply charge us for it? With smart meters, you can now take back control of energy consumption, prep solar systems, and storage. Okay? We know that the future of renewables is dependent upon storage. How, as the market currently stands, PV battery systems are quite expensive. But hey, just because we can't afford strong now doesn't mean we can't get ready for it. With a smart meter detective in the case, you can address the blind spots of energy consumption and make adjustments now. After you've taken back control of your energy, you can then add a battery system to add more holistic approach to financially and analytically find out more details about the meter here. And you can find that here at PositiveChangePC.com. That's Positive Change, www.positivechangepc.com. Click on our news and events link. Go down in our blog. You will see the article. All you got to do is READ. Hey, this is what it calls for, folks. That's why I'm doing the work. We're bringing this live to you over the airways of Solar Now and the future with its economic impact on Black America. Now, we always try to bring you some news that you definitely can use. And as we do, we like to keep doing what we do. So we're going to not take another pause, of course, but we're going to sort of shift gears. And we're going to look at employment opportunities in the DMV market area. And we're going to jump right on into it. Residential Solar Sales Consultant. Now, this is with Lumina Solar. They are in Hellthorpe, Maryland. That's zip code 21227. Is growing rapidly and looking for a motivated individual to help sustain their growth as a solar sales consultant, okay? Construction manager for commercial solar projects, One Sun U.S. in Washington, D.C. They need a construction manager for commercial solar projects. It pays between $30 to $40 an hour. Sun One is a rapidly growing commercial, industrial, and utility scale solar developer and EPC. Our operations are based out of California, so in Washington, D.C. Now, you in fact will be able to lead solar installer. Someone run is also looking for a solar installer, and it's paying between $30 to $35 an hour. Solar sales consultant with the agricultural markets. That's Paradise Energy Solutions, Ellicott City, Maryland. Paradise Energy Solutions, recognized a leader in solar and is named one of the best practices to work with in Pennsylvania. Okay, and this is paying $75,000 a year. Solar sales consultants and New Look Home Designs, Columbia, Maryland. There, this is another sales consulting position. They're indicating that you can bring in over $100,000 a year working with them. IDB Laboratories Evaluated, PEC Consultant, in Washington, D.C., International American Development Bank. They're looking for a IBD lab evaluator as a PEC consultant. The IDB lab is seeking to retain an evaluative consultant to conduct terminal evaluations for projects that are sponsored. Lead Solar Installation Tech, and this is with Alt Energy, Inc. They're in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. This position pays between $50,000 to $70,000 a year. And they're looking for employment. You need a Continental Production Services located in Alexandria, Virginia, solar panel installer. They're paying between $15 to $17 an hour. It's amazing to me how you can cross that 14th Street Bridge and the labor rates in all industry just drops. But that's your Commonwealth State. Social media specialist. Now they're looking for a social media specialist, I guess. Accurate Power is a fast growing technology company. We're revolutionizing the energy industry. We're guided by common purpose. Well, let me see what they're talking about here. It says it's easy to apply. ARCADIA Power is a fast-growing technology company. Revolutionizing the energy industry. We are guided by a common purpose. We believe in the future of power by 100% renewable energy. Our team is building a utility platform of the future, one of the that breaks down the barriers to clean energy access that puts customers first. Members all over the country choose clean energy. Save solar power. Lower their utility bills. Track their impact every day. We make choosing clean energy for everybody. We are seeking a fast, dedicated social media specialist to join the brand and communications team. The individual will assume responsibility, strategically growing and strengthening the social following by conceptualizing, generating, sharing unique, compelling content, visual copy, and videos, as well as managing posts and engaging conversations on our social platform. Social media specialists will help cohesively manage an image in order to achieve a brand of marketing goals that we invaluably contributed and we strive to build content for online. Ideal candidate is a digital native and an instinctive command of today's popular platform and plus of tomorrow who possesses excellent aptitude for both written communications and can convey their views creatively. Individually, we accept and remain currently on the social media, online digital trends, and technologies of all times. The role is based in Washington, D.C. Report to the content strategists, additionally social media strategists, collaborate frequently with member community manager, acquisition managers, specialty designers, and others across the organization. Expected to work closely with executive for and legal teams. In our submissions, please include links to portfolio and social media applications that fail to meet requirements will not be considered. Develop and implement social media strategies in order to material grow our social audience and extension member base, increase engagement, and drive company's brand program management. Sound like y'all just need to spend some damn money with black-owned radio, talk media, such as programs as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Now, I'm looking to see what kind of money that this particular job is paying. Requirements for this position. Well, and this is a very interesting position. Energy engineer with DNVGL of Arlington, Virginia. You'll be able to find this. Campaign service manager for Southeast Washington, Southeast sector of the country. It can't be Washington, D.C. Tesla is seeking an experienced dynamic service campaign manager to lead a project management recommendation to preventative maintenance efforts across commercial fleets to include what is now limited to commercial solar battery storage vehicle charging station. The role will be responsible for manning the day-to-day activities and resources while working closely with territory managers on specialized projects to provide assistance needed. And this is with TBNG, and this is tied into this is to Tesla, because that's who you're working for. Applying on company site. Now, where is this company site? Let me see where the company site is. Give me a minute, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll have this information to you. It's in Beltsville, Maryland. Service and energy installation. Location, Beltsville, Maryland. Job full-time. Build a future. This is Tesla. Okay, that location is in Beltsville. It's a full-time position. Service and energy installation, job category, campaign manager. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have solar warehouse manager in Falls Church. That's with Upsun Solar. Is seeking experienced solar warehouse manager to serve as the central point for inventory management, procurement, tendings to stock. Commercial solar sales consultant with Lithium Solar. And this is located in Helfrich, Maryland. Solar drafting specialist, solar energy services, Millerville, Maryland. It pays between $38,000 to $54,000 a year. Solar energy. Services, Inc., Solar Energy Services, Inc., is an established and thriving solar design and installation contractors in Millerville. All right. You have Solar Energy Consultant with SOLIL, Inc., that's in Atlanta, Maryland. Experienced Solar Energy Consultant, which is a sales representative position. So as you will see, here, there are a litany of jobs that are available in the DMV market area, and you'll be able to find this information by going to Indeed or ZipRecruiter, and it says job title. It says what? Put in solar energy, then where you put your zip code in, where you reside in the area, and these opportunities will come up. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we hope that we brought you news that you can definitely use here on this episode of Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And we'd like for you to realize that this show is brought to you every week by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC. And the slogan for this show, as we've said time and time again, if it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation and design companies to address the effects of higher energy costs that are historically HBCUs, which stands for Historically Black Colleges and Universities, to utilize black-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses, develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the under- and unemployment numbers of young African Americans locally and nationally, also to educate the black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America is brought to you by every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLS, HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, which you're listening to from Tacoma Park, Maryland, right outside our nation's capital. And we're broadcasting over Blog Talk Radio, over the World Wide Web. We're streaming over Facebook, Twitter, and Link. It's also brought to you every week by Skype Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web design, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newspaper production, online and traditional, speaking bureau management, and book writing, editing. And for further information, you can contact ScottCommunicationsNetwork.com. Now, we hope we brought you news that you can definitely use. And until next week, we say go in peace.
Life is a song worth singing. I can tell. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it.